Blog Talk Radio.
Dark Princess Xena Marie. How are you?
I am good. That was a really good song. I have to say a shout out real quick to James Longmore, because that was I really love that song, and he does a really good job at picking out music. So, you know, I had to say that because that was really good.
I almost sang that.
Really?
I would have been interested.
I would try to sing it, but again, you know, I told that story last week of the horrible singing voice that I have, and so I'm not going to torture you guys like that. Although this is a horror, you know, talk show, so, you know.
It could have been right in.
If you want bad dreams tonight, you know, you just ask me, you know, to sing. So.
So how's the hangover?
Oh, God. I'm actually feeling a little bit better tonight. Yesterday was awful, and most of today was not good either. I ventured out of the house to do some errands, and it was hot, and it was bright, and I was definitely realizing that I was still hungover from 2 days ago. That's insane, isn't it?
That is a little insane. Of course, the sun and the nasty, muggy weather doesn't help either.
No, when I got home, I turned on the weather station and it said that with the humidity and the heat index or whatever, it was like 106 or something. Whoa, that's too bad. That's horrible. So,
it's terrible. That is bad.
I know. What's the weather like? I mean, it's hot for you too, right? I mean, I can't be the only one. It's hot everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. Today, I think, was like 91.
Oh, see, even 90s isn't as bad as like 106. So.
90s, like, I mean, and it's not really, it's like when the wind blows, it's not so horrible, but it's like that nasty, sticky, like, sit on your chest kind of weather.
Yeah, you know, I don't even think we don't even have any wind. There's like nothing. It's just the stale, dead air, and it is suffocating. I will say, though, I've only been here in Tennessee for like not even 2 years yet. We moved up from Florida, and Florida's heat is worse. I mean, it really is. It was that kind where you just, you know, you open up the door and it just like sucks the life right out of you. So the heat here is not quite that bad.
I was in Florida for like, what, 2 weeks, I think, 2 weeks for my honeymoon, and I never want to go back. No offense to the people in Florida. I'm sure they love it there. But I was just like, this sucks. It was just like 90 during the day, and then like at night it would be like 60, and I'm like, I can deal with this. But, and then after that, it was a disaster.
No, see, when I lived in like the St. Pete, like Tampa area, it was nice because you had a nice breeze, you know, being close to the water and everything, and that was cool. But the place that I was lived in last was this tiny little town in like the middle of Florida, and it was bad. You didn't get a breeze, you didn't get anything. And no, if I never see Florida again, I it won't be too soon. So.
Yeah, Florida is just, it was just, I went there for my honeymoon and it was stupid hot. I'm like, never again.
Yeah. And it's the kind of hot that it's hot in the daytime and it's just as fucking hot at nighttime. So, you know, you don't even get a break.
So now on the line, I believe we have Tonai, who is the master of sleaze and mayhem. Let's see if I can find him here, I believe. Tonai, you there?
There you go, man.
There he is. I was wondering, I saw the area code. I'm like, what is that?
It's in the
How are you this
down
evening,
under.
Sir? And now Tonai is actually calling from the future. It's what, Friday where you're at, isn't it?
Shit. I think so. Yeah. Yeah, it is actually, yeah. I lose track of the days. I lose track.
I just want to sit back and listen. I love the accent. Oh, my goodness. So if I just sit back here and listen, you guys can, you know, talk amongst yourselves. I'm just going to, like, drool over here at the nice accent.
So now we have to get 16 out of bucket. Tona, you have all kinds of stuff. Do we have a bucket somewhere for her? Tona, you are in all kinds of stuff. What kind of stuff are we in for you? It's not just, you know, recently today. I can't even talk this evening. What kind of stuff do you got coming out? I know you have the
coming out.
Yep, I know that there's the werewolf anthology is coming out. Much longer we have until that.
That's going to be killer. That's huge. It's like 120,000 words. And there's like over 30 authors. And
that is a lot.
This is going to be one hell of an anthology. And some brilliant stuff in there.
I just can't figure out how I stuck myself in there. You have all this great talent in there.
You're right where you belong, brother.
I appreciate that. Like, that was one of those stories that I actually just kind of like, you know, wung it. I had, you know, no direction whatsoever. So I'm glad I actually made it in there, man.
You don't need a direction for revenge.
That is true. And now you also read your baby story, which that is going to be an insane anthology as well.
Oh man,
God.
Yeah. And I read yours, and yeah. When I read yours, I thought, holy shit, man. Like, you've done this. You've actually done this, haven't you?
You know, and the thing was, is that I was afraid, like, because I knew that everybody would have these weird, crazy ideas, and I thought, you know what, there's got to be a way to up the ante a little bit, just to kind of, you know. And so, you know, when I was writing it, I just started cracking up. And by the time it was over, I was just like, I think I've just, you know, reached a line somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the attention to detail was unnerving.
The research part of that was actually fun because, you know, there's a scene in that story where I was actually skinning a deer, but I had to swap the deer for a baby and, you know.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. You've read it, Xena, so you know how bad this was.
And being a mother, I thought like maybe it would like weird me out even more, but it didn't. I mean, there were a couple scenes that if I actually really thought in like pictured the baby, it would kind of like freak me out a little bit. But you know, it was good. The details were really good, and
Yeah,
as long as
skinning,
I can try to
the
separate.
The spinning part was brilliant. I loved that bit.
As I was writing that, I actually pulled up like YouTube video of a dude skinning a deer, and I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't so bad. So not only are you a writer, man, you're also an editor, and what else do you got going on? No, there's like every time I look at your page, there's all kinds of stuff you're into. The editing, and then you're doing.
It's been a while since I've done anything, but on the music side of things. But yeah, I've spent the last 20 years mucking around in bands and stuff as well. That's where that's basically where my writing came from, was writing song lyrics for bands I was in.
And that was what I was going to ask too, because I know a lot of your stuff does come from the lyrics. Are you ever going to do like a lyric book at some point, or you just kind of like throw it into the stuff that you're currently writing?
Well, I did compile all my lyrics together. I was going to put it out that way, but that's how I basically got a foot in the door, was submitting a couple of my songs to the first Rejected for Content with JEA. And I'd been writing The Scarlet Curse at that point for, that took me like nearly 3 years to write. It's only a little book.
That is an amazing book.
Thanks, man. At the end of that, like by the time I'd finished that, and I spoke to Jim Goforth, I said, where can I put this book? Yeah, he said, well, there's a lot of good presses out there. He's saying, this is the one I'm with. That was JEA. And I went with who I knew. I mean, me and Jim go back a long way. We're old mates from years and years back.
We have him scheduled to come on the show sometime soon. I don't have the book in front of me, but so it's a small world.
Man, he did. Yeah, he did say that. Actually, he did say he was coming on.
Yay! Yeah. So who are some of your influences? Like, who do you read when you have time to read?
Oh, lately. All indie stuff lately, basically, because that's pretty much the world we're living in at the moment, aren't we? We're all living in the indie authors world at the moment, so that's mainly what I read, is a whole lot of indie authors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'll give a plug in particular, the Sisters of Slaughter, Michelle Garza and Melissa Lazen, man. Those two girls are incredible. They are incredible pair of writers.
I think I'm like hounding Michelle anytime I see her online, because I want to get her to come on the show. And she was on one of our earlier shows. We had some changes anyway. And so I want her to come back so bad. And she said she would, so I'm hounding her every chance I get. Are you coming yet? Are you coming yet? Because she was awesome.
She's very persistent.
So. I am. And I'm not pushy, Michael. I don't care what you say.
They're great people as well. I mean, awesome authors. They write the best, most gruesome stuff. They're the nicest people you ever meet as well.
Just, that's scary, isn't it, Tone? I mean, because I've like read, you know, Mayan Blue, and I've actually talked to them, and it's like, are they the same people that wrote the book?
Yeah.
I was the same way though, reading your stuff, Michael. You know, I oh my goodness, and James Longmore too. I feel that, you know, after reading the Erotic Odyssey of Colton Forche, and then, you know, talking to James, I'm like, this is seems so normal.
And James Longmore, he sent me a story for Full Moon Slaughter as well. And like I'd set the word count limit to like, I think it was 8,000 or 7,000 or something like that. He sent me in a 10,000 word story. And I had to break my own rule there. What he sent me was incredible. That's, yeah, that's, he is a brilliant author, that guy. Absolutely.
He really is. Really is. So, do you have an excerpt for us to read?
An excerpt. Let me see.
Yeah, I want to listen to the accent a little more.
Let me see. I can't give you an excerpt from Full Moon Slaughter. That's not mine. You know, I'm editing it, but I mean that's everyone else's work. So let's see. What would you like? I've got a werewolf clown horror novella coming out soon with JEA as well. It's called Blood Moon Big Top. It's about a drifter called Kendrick, and he joins a circus, and he hates his name, Kendrick. So he joins the circus, and Tarlo, the lion tamer, gives him the name Marbles. So he ends up Marbles the clown. And he's like a drifter and a loner sort of thing, and he doesn't do well with people. So what he does, he gets into his clown outfit, becomes Marbles the clown. You know, he's a different person. He does his show, and then after the show, he goes back to his trailer and just hides away. And
that sounds good.
Goes for a walk somewhere. You know, just looking for solitude. Away from people. He's not a people person. And then one full moon night, well, it's actually nearly dawn, and he wakes up really early and realizes he's got no coffee. So he thinks, oh, I'll go for a walk, walk it off while he waits for, opening hours for the shops. And he's wandering through the forest, and he stumbles upon this little feral kid in the bush. And, goes, wakes him up, he's just this naked kid with, dirty matted hair and big long black fingernails, and he's sleeping away in a big pile of leaves, and he wakes him up, and the kid starts freaking out, so Marbles decides he's going to take him back to the circus, maybe they'll find his parents or something, but it's obvious that the kid's been living out in the wild pretty much all his life, I suppose. He's only about 5 or 6 years old. But, he goes to turn around. He's got him by the hand and turns around and goes to walk away, and the kid bites him on the wrist and rips a big chunk out of his wrist. The story goes, basically, he's, the first 2 weeks, as the moon's waning, is basically it's Marble's sort of decline, and his deterioration. And then he dies. When the moon goes dark, he dies. He goes into a coma. Then he wakes up on the slab in the morgue. And then the rest of the story is just absolute chaos. The rest of the story is Marbles trying to find his way back to the circus and battling with his newfound all-consuming hunger. That's, let me see. You want to hear some of that?
I do, yes, I do, definitely.
Definitely. Got to do a reading.
Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Finding. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's okay. I almost have technical difficulty on my end. I couldn't hear you guys for a minute.
Everything about him felt immeasurably stronger. Even the hair on his head, face, and body exuded power, as though it were pushing its way forcefully through the follicles as he ran. Faster and faster he ran without any increase of exertion at all, his breathing even and unlabored, his blood pumping rhythmically through his veins. Marbles had never felt as alive as he did at that moment. A myriad of thoughts raced right alongside him. One thought in particular surfaced to take dominance. In order for Marbles to feel so alive, innocent people will have to die. Where this thought would have at one time disturbed and saddened him greatly, now it was making him smile. The horror and self-disgust he had felt after eating the Siamese twins and the uneasiness he had felt as he became aware of the change coming over him with the woman in the alley were now fated to remain in his past. Marbles had begun to enjoy the killing. He viewed it as a sport now, an endless playing field where he was free to do as he chose, to kill without mercy or remorse, and above all, to feed. This last aspect had grown in importance, shadowing every other emotion, every other need, until his entire world began to revolve around his next kill and the satisfaction it would bring. Nearing the town limits, ducking into shadows at each passing car, Marbles kept pace. He was still heading in the general direction of the elusive circus, the reasons for which were themselves beginning to elude him. Rejoining the circus didn't seem as important to him as it initially had. What kept him on this course was the promise of such a smorgasbord that would be on offer once he arrived. Leaving the town and travelling on along an empty winding road, all this thought of carnage stirred his hunger once more. Remembering the contents of his bag, he left the road, slid down a short embankment, and removed his bag from his back. He leaned back against the incline and turned his eyes to the moon, rummaging through his pack for the thick slices of flesh he had stashed. He quickly scoffed a large piece of the stiff, chilled meat and immediately plunged his hand into the bag for another. He only had to decide for a brief moment before pulling out the third and final piece, devouring it as well. I'll leave it there.
That is very cool.
Awesome. That was really good.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pretty gruesome book, this one.
I know, when you were talking about it, and you get to a certain point, and you're like, and then it just goes off from there. It just gets worse. I'm like, gets worse. That sounded pretty gruesome to begin with, but really good.
The more gore, the better. I mean, you know, gore is always a good thing.
Well, there's a lot of gore in it. The beginning of the story. Well, basically, when he gets bitten and he's deteriorating and all that sort of stuff, there's not a whole lot of horror. It's more sort of like a, I mean, it is horror, but it's more like a psychological type of horror than like watching Marbles deteriorate mentally as well as physically and getting sicker and sicker.
Sometimes that's the worst kind of horror, the psychological.
Yeah, I love that kind of horror, that sort of, you know, just that mental insanity stuff. I love insanity.
Insanity is always
definitely
a good thing. It's almost like a nod to, like, Clive Barker in a sense, where you have that, it's like, it slowly builds, and then you have just complete and total.
Yeah, it's once he wakes up on the slab, though, in the morgue, that's when things just get crazy, and, yeah, the bodies pile up.
Okay.
Now, so when is that coming out? Is that released now, or where can we find it?
It's actually in edits at the moment, so it's, yeah, with the editor. And
that's always
I'm thinking, what is it now, August? I'm thinking maybe possibly October, I'd say. It would be ready to go.
And we only have about a couple minutes left on the segment. So why don't you let us know where we can find you, where we can stalk you.
He's all about
okay, you can stalk me on... Let me see. Well, on Facebook, that's where I'm mostly at. And, just type in Tonai Einot, dark author and musician in the search, and then, yeah, you'll find me there.
And that
awesome,
is the thing about Tonai.
Awesome.
You can always find Tonai. He is, like, one of those guys that is everywhere. I want to thank you very much for coming on. You got to promise to come back again.
Definitely. No, definitely. Thanks heaps for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Talk to you soon.
So now, yep. You have a good evening, Tony, and we will talk to you again soon.
You too. Bye. I'll catch you later.
Bye.
See you, Xtina. Thanks a lot.
And now we have Xtina with a couple of commercials here for us. We are going to run into a quick break.
Okay, let's see. Jaded Books Publishing has opened submissions for Black Candy, the next anthology to be released Halloween Day. Black Candy is Halloween themed, so send in your best submissions with serial killers, monsters, creepy crawlies, and all things that could bump in the night on Halloween. Submit two submissions at jadedbookspublishing.com. The deadline is September 15th. Jaded Books Publishing is still accepting submissions for a special dark poetry anthology, A Lovely Darkness Poetry with Heart, with all the proceeds going to St. Jude's. The week of September 15th through the 21st, see their Facebook page for submission guidelines. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page is Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our new website, www.panicroomradio.com.
welcome back to the Panic Show. I am Mike. How are you this evening? And Christina, are you still there? No. Somehow I think I lost Christina. Oh, strange. I think I've lost everybody. Christina, can you hear me?
I can. Here I am.
I was like, where did you go? I'm like, oh my God, not again.
No, this is the crazy part, because I was actually singing when the song was on. I muted myself just in case, and then when it ended, of course, I still had it muted.
You're very welcome. And when I was talking to Tony, I like lost everybody. I could just hear like bits and pieces of it. I'm like, oh God, not again.
Right.
Now that I have you back, let's go ahead and bring on April. I think she's on hold there. April, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the Panic Room. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
So how are all y'all tonight?
I'm good. I've had a couple glitches here and there with the soundboard, but other than that, not too bad.
I know. It's and there are my dogs. Are we sure it's like Friday the 13th or something? I think maybe a full moon. I don't know, because we've definitely had some issues tonight, but we'll just have to laugh about them and maybe drink a beer. Who's with me?
I got soda. I'm going to need a beer after this is over.
Right. It has nothing to do with it, but weren't you going to read some your pills or something, the warnings or something, Michael? Because I was actually interested in hearing that.
Oh, the Shantix. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
My cat decided to join me, so I'm like limited in my mobility. And he's to hang out and wash himself, so I'm kind of stuck. But yeah, the Shantix is kind of interesting, because the warning itself says when used to stop smoking this drug, it cause or make diseases of the mind worse. Taking one's own life, ideas of killing yourself or murder, low mood, depression, forceful actions, hallucinations, and psychosis have happened with use. If you think you have any of these problems, call your doctor right away. So yeah, that's what I'm on. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. Did I lose everybody? Yeah, April. And we've actually lost Christina. And I believe, April, are you still with us? I think all may have dropped too.
I'm actually here, but you're going in and out.
It's the switchboard for some reason. I don't know what's going on with it.
Your audio keeps dropping in and out on me.
Yeah, it's the switchboard. I know happened before. I don't know if the website or what's going on.
Well, don't worry. I fought with my internet all day. It's been dropping in and out. And I can't get a text here till tomorrow, so
oh, no.
I've been fighting with it all day. I understand.
That is always the worst. And now let's see. And I believe it's calling back. She had actually had lost her somehow. Let's see if she's still there. And now, do you have a reading for us while I'm trying to find Xtina?
Yes, I do, actually. She had asked me about it earlier. And I thought that I would read from you guys a little bit of the first chapter of the new book that I'm working on. It's called The Woods. I live in West Virginia, so a lot of my books are focused in that general area. And it's about a vampire. I got a little frustrated. Yeah, I got a little frustrated, I guess, with the way that they've romanticized the vampire so much in recent years. You don't really get the scary vampire anymore.
No, you get the sparkly kind of...
You get the sparkly vampires and the ones that are just moping around, like Lestat. Not that, you know, I love the her vampire and Rush's vampires, but they are a little bit more romanticized than, say, Stephen King's vampires.
Exactly. Because there, I know for a while there, it was like vampires were like, you know, like scary, and all of a sudden it was like they got kind of like crucified almost. It just embarrassing. I can certainly understand.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the paranormal romances too, with, you know, the vampires and the shifters and all that stuff. But I also like a good scary horror story as much as the next person. So that's what I thought that I would do with this story. It's about a vampire that sleeps for about 30, 40 years, and then he wakes up and goes on his little hunting spree, and then he goes back to sleep. And so the people in this town are now dealing with him, and he's awake and he's hungry.
Oh, cool.
Right.
Yeah, and right. I've actually got the story up on Wattpad, so anybody that wants to read as I write, they can read it along on Wattpad. If anyone who doesn't know what Wattpad is, it's an online reading forum where authors can post their work. It's where I actually got my start.
It
so I always put my work in progress up there so that the people who can't afford my books can actually read them. Or the ones from like the Philippines who can't get my books, they can still read it on Wattpad.
That's
now, once they're published, my publisher is like, no, you take that down right now. And so, but, you know, while I'm writing it, they have the opportunity to read it. And, you know, it's just my way of saying thank you to everybody who buys my books.
And plus, it gives
I give them a shot
feedback.
To read it. Yeah, it's really great for feedback. It's where I actually put the ghost files up. When I originally started querying the ghost files, I've sent it out to probably 50 agents. About 30 contacted me back, and they all told me no. It wasn't a good fit for them. Some even told me it wouldn't sell in the market because unless you're Christopher Pike, you're not going to be able to sell young adult horror. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was actually ready to just delete the file from my computer. I was so frustrated. And then someone said, hey, you know what? Why don't you put it up on Wattpad? And I was like, what's Wattpad? And they're like, oh, well, you know, you can actually let people read your book and see what they think. So we put it up, and within about a month, we had almost 2 million reads on the book.
That's
wow.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, so
that
shows that there's audience.
When I'm hunting for people to ask to come on the show, I was on Amazon, and I came across your books, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I have to ask her to come on.
Yeah, I mean, I've been blessed with the Ghost Files. I mean, for a series that I was told no, I mean, it's an international best-selling series. It's also been optioned for film.
Wow.
So that was exciting. One of the producers from Dexter picked it up.
Oh,
Raimi Ray.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And
wow.
The coolest thing that's ever happened to me with that book, and this doesn't even compare, we actually had Jackson Rathbone, Jasper from Twilight. He read the books and tweeted at me that he loved them.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
that is
yeah,
so cool.
It was pretty cool. Fans flipped out. I think
they
harassed him a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we sometimes talk, you know, kind of bad about Twilight or whatever, but I have to say I read the books and I really loved them. I did. You know, there were things that the only thing I think was a little bit lacking for me was the not even the romance, just, you know, and I realized that it was, you know, kind of like a teen movie, but I wanted more, you know, I wanted a sex scene. You know, I was waiting when I was reading. I wanted the more the physical aspect of their, you know, relationship. But, you know, I realized that they were in high school still and everything, but that's what I was waiting on. And I did. I loved the movies. I loved the books. So, you know, people can throw things at me and say they're sparkly vampires or whatever. But I liked it. I did. I mean, I did.
Yeah, we do actually have a caller on the line. Hang on one second. Let me bring her in. I believe we have Cassie on the line. Cassie, you there?
Yes, I'm here. And it's Casey.
And it's Casey.
Casey, you know
how
what?
How do you not know that, Michael? How do you not know that?
I do it just
honestly,
to mess with you.
Honestly, like, how do you not know that?
I do it just to mess with you. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I'm kind of irritated because my son's not in bed yet, but you know how that goes with children.
Yes.
Calling in to speak to April.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. As soon as I heard where you're from, I had to call in. What part of West Virginia are you from?
Southern West Virginia, McDowell County. Little bitty tiny community called Cucumber. Right
I was
outside
born
of
Warren. Beckley.
Oh,
you're
not too far from me, then.
Colcord and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
yeah, I got to drive through that first bridge to get there. $12 to get
you know where, like, Clear Fork and everything is? Clear Fork and Sycamore?
Yes, I do know where that is.
That's where we're from.
Well, that's a nice area.
I heard that you use inspiration from where you live and everything. I actually, too, am writing a short story anthology based from the urban legend of Aunt Peachy in Sycamore.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I'm sitting here, and it's like I'm always the one who doesn't have any kind of accent. You guys are like these cute little Southern belles with your you know, and then we had Tony on, and James has these awesome accents, and I have nothing. So I need to, like, maybe next week I'm going to practice, like, some cool accent and, like, you know, fool you all.
I'm just cool listening to y'all talk. I'm fine. I'm like, you know, go ahead and talk. I'll be right here.
The funny thing is my accent has actually helped me quite a bit. When I moved to North Carolina, I used to work for this background investigation company, and I would have to call the courthouses all the time. And so this accent would get me information that they would normally hang up on other people with. So if they had someone that was being a little difficult, they would say, oh, just have April call them. It was so funny.
That is awesome.
So
with your vampire novels, with you said you drew some of your inspiration from Anne Rice, but not the romanticized portion of it. Exactly, what did you draw from her her books, her vampire chronicles?
I would think it would just be the history that she was able to create, that entire background story of the characters. That's what I love about Anne Rice, is the way that she's able to just draw you in to her world with all the details that she uses, these little bitty details that a lot of people overlook that you remember later. And I think any good writer has to be able to get details across in a way that's not an information dump, but in a way that actually is useful to the story. And that's what she's really good at doing. And that's why I love her books.
So with your vampires, are they more antagonistic?
My vampire,
more aggressive, or are they on the narcissistic side?
My vampire, the one that I'm using right now, he's just all out evil. Even when he's being nice, he is evil. I put the evil back into the vampire.
This is good. I mean, that's exactly what we needed, because I know with Stoker and King, they've kind of, you know, went away from that and kind of, like, made them all sparkly and, you know.
Yes, as Christina said, the sparkly vampire. You know, I'm a fan of Twilight myself. I am. I like them. I'll admit it. I like the books probably a little bit more than I did the movies, just because there was a lot that was cut out of the movies.
Yeah,
I like the sparkly vampires. You know, and as I was saying earlier, I'm a sucker for PNR, paranormal romances. You know, I love to read about the vampires and the shifters and all that good stuff. But at the same time, vampires are a horror icon, and we need more of that back into the game for readers of this generation who don't have that, who aren't going to pick up Stoker or King and read, like, Salem's Lot. They're not going to do it. They might see it on TV. But you need books out there that they're going to pick up.
Of course, too.
And that's
another good point that you bring up, too, is that, you know, a lot of people that don't have that early influence from, you know, King, Stoker, and Rice even, you know, they're going to read Salem's Lot and have this weird idea that, you know, they did the vampire all wrong, whereas, you know, Fire got it all right with the romanticizing of it, and, you know, and it just, it's kind of weird. You know, and I totally agree. We need to bring it back to where it used to be. And hopefully...
Exactly.
Yeah. I, for one, am sick to death of reading the ones where the vampire falls in love with a human.
Oh, I know. Oh, what's the feedback been on your series? Have you gotten a lot of great feedback, or do you feel like you're finally in the right direction and people are kind of picking up on it?
I can barely hear you, honey. Your sound is dropping on me.
It's my cat. I decided he wanted to get on my microphone. Now, with the new series, do you think that, what's the feedback been like? Have been pretty positive?
Well, I had really only just put up one chapter so far, and I hadn't advertised it yet because it's completely unedited. So I start advertising once I start editing. But from what comments that I've gotten so far, the feedback's really good. People are interested. So that's a good thing. Because, you know, I start right out the gate with a vampire attack, so.
Awesome.
That way you know you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I had asked you earlier about an excerpt, and then we kind of got sidetracked. So do you have one to read for us?
I do. I was, I have actually the first chapter of the new book. You got to remember, it is unedited, so please don't yell at me for errors. That's the one thing that I get a lot of is people, you know, I put the stuff up, rough draft, and, you know, you get those comments, well, this is wrong and this is wrong, and you put in there, well, it's unedited. I said it's unedited.
We promise not to judge. We're all writers here. We promise not to judge.
No, not at all.
You know, it's not the first draft, but it is unedited. This is like the third draft.
Okay.
So it hasn't went to my editor, who loves me, thank God for that. And she puts up with all my nonsense. All right, so do you guys want me to read?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this is an excerpt from The Woods. As I was saying earlier, it is up on Wattpad for you guys to read, what's available of it now anyway. So we're going to start off with chapter one. So here we go. Shane Roberts cursed and fought to keep from driving straight into a ditch. He'd been going over 80 when his inherited 1972 Camaro decided it didn't want to go any further. It was all he could do to maintain control. He let out a string of curses and popped the hood once it finally coasted to a stop along the empty stretch of highway. He grabbed the flashlight he kept in the glove box and got out to inspect the damage. There wasn't anything visibly wrong, but the car refused to start, which led him to believe it was a starter. He'd replaced it last month with a used one, but he was going to have to bite the bullet and get a new starter. No help for it. He'd have to live off bologna sandwiches for the next month or so to pay for it. Town was about 2 miles down the road, but if he cut through the woods, Shane was less than 10 minutes from his girlfriend's house. He could call Jimmy's wrecker service to pick up the car since Jimmy owed him a favor. So which way? He swung his flashlight down the highway and then back into the woods. There was no moon out tonight, making it darker than usual. Storm clouds were rolling in and he could smell the rain in the air. The woods were the obvious choice. He knew his way through them, having played in them when he was a child and then gone hunting with his brother and his dad when he got older. He knew them as well as he did any back road in and out of town. So why was he hesitating? He put the hood of the car down and then locked it. If he walked back to campus, he'd be walking a while. He took a step towards the woods and stopped, shining his flashlight into them. The darkness was so deep, it devoured any light that tried to breach it. He looked back down the highway. Which way? A drop of rain splattered across his face as a wave of thunder rolled through, and he shivered. There was no way he was walking back to campus in a rainstorm when he could be at Lisa's in less than 10 minutes. Mind made up, he started walking towards the woods. Once he broke the trees, the rain all but stopped. The canopy of branches overhead was so thick, the rain had a hard time seeping through, but it also made it darker. He shivered again and pulled his jacket together. The dark felt heavy, oppressive. It wrapped around him, a soft caress tinged with danger. Shane glanced around and tried to shake off the feeling of unease, But he couldn't. Nothing but the dark and the vague outline of the trees were his companions. He hadn't felt this creeped out in a long time. The place just had a bad vibe tonight. Then it struck him. It wasn't just the dark, it was the silence. There was a total absence of sound. Not even a chirp of a cricket could be heard, as it was as if all the animals had gone, leaving him alone in the dark with something. Why had he let Lisa talk him into watching a horror movie tonight? He spent 2 hours watching a homicidal maniac chase people through the woods. It was no wonder his imagination was hopped up on steroids right about now, feeding off the memory of the movie. There wasn't any reason to be afraid of the dark, or so he tried to tell himself. But there was a deep and innate fear of the dark that lived in every single human. It's an instinct that's as old as time itself and one that never goes away, even if it's buried in the most primal part of our brains. It was that instinct reminding Shane of the last time he'd been scared in these woods. At 10, he thought he was brave, invincible, but he'd been wrong. He and his friends had been laughing at something they'd learned in church. The Bible taught us that we wouldn't go out in the dark if we actually knew what was in the dark. The three of them had laughed, thinking they were invincible. They'd struck out of the house. They'd snuck out of the house and went to spend the night in the woods. Shane had never been able to shake that night. Something really had chased them through the woods. His dad told him they'd probably spooked a bear or some other wild animal, but Shane didn't think so. He'd heard a laugh, and that laugh still haunted his dreams. That laugh was the reason he found himself picking up the pace. The silence started to eat away at his nerves, the darkness only getting blacker and deeper as he traveled into the heart of the woods. They'd all been warned to stay out of this area as that when they were kids. None of the parents had really ever said why, only that they couldn't play here. Even though it hadn't made sense, he didn't know anyone who'd ever disobeyed that one rule. So why was he now? Because he wasn't a little kid anymore, he told himself. He was a grown man, and the dark didn't scare him. His subconscious laughed at the suffocating dark as the suffocating darkness clung to him. A twig snapped. Shane swung his flashlight in the direction of the noise, but he didn't see anything. His measly beam of light didn't even cut through the thick blanket of inky darkness surrounding him. "Hello," he called out. Silence. He took a deep breath, telling himself it was just an animal. There wasn't anything to be afraid of. He started walking again, his pace faster, more determined to break free of the woods. He was about 5 minutes from Lisa's house. He just had to stay focused and not let his nerves get the best of him. He felt the rush of wind brush against him, and he stopped walking, frozen. The tree branches weren't moving. They were still as death. Where did the wind come from? He turned in a circle, his flashlight skimming the very edges of the dark. Nothing. There wasn't anything lurking in the woods. Why'd he watch this stupid horror movie tonight? It was getting the best of him. He forced one foot in front of the other and took off jogging. The faster he got to Lisa's, the better. Another twig snapped to his left. "Who's there?" he shouted, his feet refusing to move. Again, only silence greeted him. His nostrils flared. His panic began to set in. There was something out here with him. Every instinct he had affirmed this and told him to run. He took off running. Light shone like a beacon ahead of him. He could make out the outline of Lisa's house. Relief swept through him. He'd made it. A laugh floated through the air, full of menace. He stopped running. The sound of that laugh tore through him, paralyzing him. He knew that laugh. It still haunted his dreams. He turned in a circle, casting the light as he went. He saw nothing, but the panic hit full force. Fear curled in the pit of his stomach, and he tried to find the source of that laugh. "Who is it?" he called out. "Who's there?" More laughter echoed in his ears, and real fear struck him for the first time in 12 years. He didn't wait any longer, but turned around straight for the house. Shane. His eyes widened. It knew his name. "Don't think about it," he said. "Just run." I'm going to cut you off there, because I know we're getting close to the end of the show.
Oh, that was awesome, though. You know, I swear, I think this is my favorite part of the show is the reading. And really, it's so much. We need to have like a full hour of just like read. You know?
Yeah, I agree. That was awesome.
Yes. I'm going to put you on the spot, April, and ask you to come back sometime, and maybe we can try to make it like an hour show or something, because I really enjoyed having you, and I could listen to you for a lot longer than that.
That was
oh, yeah,
good.
I'd love to come back.
Yay.
That's another one.
Ooh. Right, right. You know, it pays to put them on the spot, because what are they going to say? No, I hate you. Go away. You know, so they have to say yes.
Yeah, you got to, like, you know, like almost clubbing them in the back of the head or something, you know.
Yeah, that might work for some of us. I don't know. So, April, tell us where we can find you, you know, Facebook, and where else can we find you?
Well, Facebook is where you'll normally find me. But
mm-hmm.
I do also have Twitter, and it's at April Baker, APRYL. I also just opened an Instagram account after many, many years of people saying, you need Instagram, you need Instagram, you need Instagram. Finally opened that up, and, you know, it's the same thing, at April Baker. Wattpad, though, is where you can really find me, because you will find excerpts of every book that I have published. You will find... as I write books, I post them to Wattpad, as I was saying, for people who can't afford it or they don't have it in their country. So if you want to get a peek at what I'm writing before it actually hits the market, it's there.
That's very cool.
Awesome. I'm going to actually ask for the link after the show. I'm going to message you and ask for the link, and we'll put it up on our site, because that's really cool. That is really awesome.
Yes.
And you can find tons of other great writers on there as well.
There's a, I've seen
to.
Like, oh, I'm getting the 90-second mark in my ear.
Oh,
yeah, I've noticed on Wattpad that there's a lot of great writers on there that are just kind of like, I'm just looking to get discovered, but just to find, you know, like feedback for their work to see, you know, if it's in the right direction. So that Wattpad is a very writers. I urge everybody to check it out.
You guys can send me the link to the show. I'll also send it over to Wattpad HQ, and they might actually feature it. So,
that's
anytime
cool.
You talk about Wattpad, they like to hear it.
Awesome, awesome. You were an awesome guest, and I really can't wait to have you back. When is your new project? When is it due out, or what are we looking for?
Xena, honey, I can't hear you. You're all
she did break up a little bit. Yeah, she did break up a little bit.
Okay, is it better?
Hello?
I think we lost her again. Yeah, I think we just lost 16 again. You still there, April?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And where else can we find you? We have the web, and is there a direct link to your Facebook? That should be on our...
it's just facebook.com/April Baker.
Gotcha. And then we are definitely running down to the 10-second mark. I want to thank you again for coming onto the Panic Room and for reading for us. And we definitely got to come
back.
Thank
you guys for having me. I appreciate it, and I had so much fun.
I'll definitely be counting you again.
Yeah. All right, excuse
me. There she is.
All right, well, thank you again, April, for coming on, and you have a wonderful evening. Tina, you want to roll us out?
All right, you too.
Good night, friends of Panic Room.
Good night.
Night, guys.